with dilation of the spectrum. The aging process is an operative behavior of the structure on time. An operative behavior of the structure of time.
Over time.
Are you coming? Your body is not operating on time. Therefore, it's not displacing none of its chemicals through the mechanism from storage to demand on time. Therefore, an aging process appears to occur.
Is it possible to substitute on schedule?
That's another way of saying it.
Space time is another concept which confuses that whole issue because
time is distance light crosses the width of an electron. Time is the distance light crosses the width of an electron. Therefore, a unit of time is measurable on action. The conductance divided by the resistance. So, for that reason, we function in a time process. But you can't take it out and give it to nobody and say, here is time. But we do have to function it. But we carry a ruler to keep track of it. It's called a watch. It does have to do with that. You are a life process, and the rhythms of your life process is separate. For that reason, you can now release it.
So if you elongate that electron structure, that's the way you sense it.
You said earlier about the transformation of carbon into what again?
A diamond.
Okay, right. That was reminding me of the transmutation in alchemy about the lead to gold. And I was wondering how the concept of alchemy fits into our physical body transformation, and whether the origins of alchemy are what we really know about alchemy today. You know, what was the original process or concept behind alchemy, and how does it relate to the physical body?
Don't get carried away with the word alchemy. All it means is all the chemistry on our body for elements. That's how it began.
Okay.
But it built a philosophical structure to describe the mechanics of the current 44 elements. It's when we start sorting it out, we didn't prove that the structure was incorrect. All we prove is that the label is not appropriate for today's time because it carried with it certain sense of guilt. We are taking today's thinking in the term pure chemistry or physical chemistry, there is no sensation of guilt involved in it, but the same laws of chemistry are there, and the same current 44 elements are there, and their reaction times is what we are dealing with constantly, the reaction time of chemistry.
I don't understand the concept of the guilt that you mentioned. Does that mean that if you feel like you're lead, that you feel guilty because you're not gold? Is that what you're talking
about? Exactly. And so you build up emotional stresses out of the labels you give it.
Would there
that was ancient man's way of talking to himself.
So are you saying that alchemy, the word, of course, is not accurate for today's language, but is there a similar, more accurate way of describing it besides just chemistry? Or is the whole concept just out there, back there, where it doesn't matter?
No, the word al means total.
Uh-huh.
Like alfalfa. Like almond. The portion word. Is it a portion in this movement? Is that means total?
Total chemistry.
That's Arabic.
Arabic. Well, but it, al means total. All there is. But that's where it comes from. All means total. Chem is chemistry. Al-man means the whole world. Al-man is world. Al means total. When you break down an al-man, you'll find the 12 basic minerals that makes the human body present in it as a food. It's been known for centuries that is one of nature's most complete food. In the 12 basic minerals, not your trace minerals, 12 basic minerals, and that is where you trace right back to alchemy. They were working on all the basic minerals to work and make the body. When you look at the physical body is in three rates of acceleration. You have a chemical rate, an electrical rate, and a magnetic rate. And they're all set up in chemistry. That's why we talk about soul nutrition. That's what we're talking about tomorrow. It is food taken into the mechanism on time, for the first time.
The reason, the word alchemy, I haven't read very many books on it because I just was not led to any of them. But I've always been interested in, I didn't want to have to sit down and learn chemistry, okay? And I was hoping that there would be a spiritual way of finding out these things and, you know, little techniques here and there, of course, but I was wondering if there was something, maybe I'm not looking in the right place, studyable about that whole process that they did back then.
Alchemy is ancient man's way of studying all the chemicals by placing idiomatic behavior to the chemical.
Oh, that's
why he called it alchemy.
Okay.
Leaving it with a guilt complex when misapplied by the individual. So you're very lead-like. So right away, if you're not like gold, we're gonna have to. So it means that you're not good enough for us. That's the way they spoke in those days because they were agricultural heritage. They tried to label a behavior to a physical fact, giving birth to a conditional restraint known as self-discipline through fault. Every time you make a fault, it imposes its self-regimentation upon you. It's not valid and out of that grew churchianity. The thinning in of your brain will paralyze you from self-enterprise. Now, in this country, versus the other countries where your ancestors came from, the aristocrats never left the country, you know. They didn't have any self-enterprise because they owned everything on the other side of the world. We came here because, why? We didn't got anything. Enterprise is what forces us to be where we are. Our self-enterprising nature pushes us forward. And that is a breaking away from self-imposed regimentation of thinking. So when we get down to the word chemistry, separating it from alchem, all the chemistry, with the labeling it with its behavioral nature, today we put it all into physical language, freeing it from the guilt complex and the regimentation of the guilt complex. Now, we have a yearning to go back to those labels. Why? Because it's in the nebulous range, it's in the mysterious range, and it would seem to generate some kind of a superpower, like a Merlin over Arthur. See, those are the kind of heritages versus you come up to an Oppenheimer.
Wasn't Einstein like a Merlin though? I mean,
anytime a scientist or any individual makes a breakthrough in data concerning his environment, he's going to have to alter language from a guilt level to a non-guilt level, from a generalized level to a specific level. And no one is going to like it. But if he doesn't freak out, he may be an asset to his society. those who are going to be born after him can be over-pressurized to accept his predecessor's view of things, or accept his view and go on to something more, or add. That's what evolution is all. We have to take the challenge by the enterprising person who breaks away, and that's why sponsored research goes on, to find out more and more what's happening, and then try to utilize it. But if we didn't generate any kind of research, we'd be stagnant. And then the stagnation would be guilt complexes imposing itself upon the human being, regimenting them to a point where they become self-destructive.
Seems to me that's why mathematics phrases, because it doesn't really tell.
Right.
Associations.
So until you recognize this from the external program into your intellect, you're going to be locked into a repetition. And therefore the ancient people wanted to break away from it. And so they started different techniques of breaking away from this environmental program by developing all techniques of calling mantra or repetition to break away from it. What they're trying to get at is the integrated part of your beingness, where the creative reservoir is functioning totally unlimited, like a pumpkin of youth inside of you.
Yes, you can think about that in mathematical terms, that may be free.
Yes. Free men are a lot of yourselves.
Right.
So I put it
this way. Have a celebration.
Enjoy yourselves. It's later than you think. Enjoy yourselves. They're never going to be pink. The years go by. They're always full of drink. Enjoy yourselves before they stink. This here is nature's greatest contribution to its creation. But it's taking us time. So alchemy has its origin with its frame of reference, but we're moving on to it becoming chemistry and explaining it to ourselves without being guilty. In other words, we're moving out of churchianity into human dignity of spirituality. Churchianity had to mold itself from primal consciousness, from its agrarian heritage. It was valid, but it isn't valid when it breeds sickness in the form of guilt. It has to give that up and come to grips with the reality that we are beings here for the purpose of expressive creativeness. And therefore it is taking physical understanding, the laws of physics, and chemistry to break away from that all-inclusive frame, to let us look at ourselves for the first time without fear. Yes, I have one mantra. It's called Maha Asana. I'll demonstrate it to you. I can't talk if I have to demonstrate it. You see it? You heard it. It's called standing in your 2 feet. It's very, very dynamic. It cannot be spoken, it has to be lived. And that was how come it didn't swallow me truly. No, they embraced me after they got it. It made them realize that man has to stand on his own feet and not count public. We respect each other's brothers and sisters. That's why Jesus made the remark, the student is not above the master, and the master is not above the disciple. It's not for his friends. That's the only real mantra there is. Stand on your own feet. You're born again already. Delta has two functions. The first function of Delta is this. Can't do much. Nobody happy in my Delta if you find that photo over there.
It's cowboy, huh?
Right. And the other state of Delta is get up and function. And the moment of function is the moment of contribution. Whatever challenges that moment, no matter what it is, in the most minute activity, you're applying only one thing, practicality. In practicalness is death, the solution. Delta doesn't have anything to offer other than to release. It doesn't give you what you have. It releases what you have. That's the difference in understanding what it's doing.
So to release the Delta state by doing, you do it in such a way that
it's non-ego there. There is no ego in it. There is no striving for it. It's the philanthropic action or the non-profit action of the human being, which they call same as the end for the first time. You're a same person. In other words, Mr. Schweitzer, the guy who lived in the jungle.
Yeah.
Schweitzer, he said that. Do any action that is contributive to the continuation of life. That's the way he would describe it in the Delta expression. Do any action that is contributive to life. That's Delta. Deep down inside of you, each one of us, the urge to do something constructive. That doesn't say we don't have a urge to constructiveness, but that is generated only from guilt. Because we're programmed to feel once you start phasing that off and looking at yourself actually as a construct, being an old one, just look at yourself.
So to begin by having yourself in a Delta state for 7 minutes, when you did this, how did you put yourself in that position? You just blank your mind or
say no,
something?
You can't blank your mind. You ever go to a movie? Do you tell the projector how to run the show? Or do you sit down and do it? Watch and wait, right? It comes out. That's exactly what you get said. Close your eyes and watch it. Scotch, you always hear this.
I love it.
because you want to make your own movie. You're busy directing it before it comes on. Now you see what the problem is. And the reason why we want to make the movie, that's why we want to do that thing. It's like Shakespeare. All life is but a stage, and we are merely actors. Our entrances and our exits. That's exactly what he's trying to convey, is that when you close your eyes, the fact that you close them, the beta range, which is the storage input range, next to the alpha range is actually storage. Delta and beta, these three levels tend to interfere. But they're actually the screen, the camera, and the film in the camera that is running on the in your head. Now, Delta is the observer. You pay the money to go in and sit up and wait for the movie to come on. So you're actually in a semi-delta state waiting for it. Now, if anyone has read the autobiography of a yogi, Yogananda was describing the experience where he was lying down or meditating, and then he saw himself in a battlefield being shot in the chest, and at the same time he's meditating in India, and he's in the battlefield. The conflict of the two levels of interweaving of life. Rhythms. We have this particular phenomenon going on in us because we are an expression of light. Now, just to show how you sell yourselves short, the speed of light is 186,000 miles a second, right? Now, energy is 186,000 miles per second squared. We're not going to deal with energy. That's going to be the speed of light. Something that makes visibility possible over the invisible masses of objects moving in space. This speed alone is 186,000 miles a second. Let's take planet Earth that we live on. The diameter is approximately 8,000 miles. Divide that into 186,000 and see how many times my voice hit Mr. Gandhi in India at that speed. If you go how fast, you take 8,000 divided by 186,000, how many times can I bombard Mr. Gandhi with my voice?
3 and 4.
A second, right? That's how many times I'm hitting his body and talking, but his body is bombarded by my voice 23 and 4 times a second. And he doesn't have the slightest notion what his subliminal memory bank delta is. Now when he exhales, he doesn't know his carbon dioxide is my oxygen. And all that he thinks he locked up in his brain becomes my information, not like a tape recorder. And when I exhale, call carbon dioxide is your oxygen. But if you can lock into what that oxygen will do in the past, you have everything and other things. There is no thought transference other than oxygen. Between all beings. God is universal. Why should you want miracles? He's the biggest miracle himself. It's when you understand what is happening around you, the whole thing opens for the first time that you can live in it. That's what I mean. That's what Paul is saying, because Paul came to the final realization that the miracles were not the essential purpose of life. Understanding the fruit is the real purpose of living. How to function in a guilt-free state. So he said, I rebuke you in your rejoicing, for I live and die daily in the Lord. Meaning, he was able to phase in and phase out on the cosmic tape called oxygen that produces the phenomenon called consciousness or identity, which made the intimacy of self-beingness worthiness now. The greatest joy. Now it is rejoicing for the first time. He was rejoicing in himself being this.
So, what caused the programming of unworthiness?
Whenever you do something that doesn't please the parent, they're going to remind you that you faltered. And in your faltering, you may be sent to the corner to look at the wall. And then you're not to come back. After a while, you begin to get a sense of worthiness or unworthiness. This is what this self-discipline generates us. But deep down inside, unworthiness also exists when the sperm are released. You don't know if you're going to be a winner because nobody asks you to come out and go to race. And if you look around at all the other sperm racing to get the oval, you want to know if you're worried to win or lose, then the struggle really goes on in the biological memory pattern to determine the willingness in you to survive. Then that separates you from the losers, because you would be sitting in this room without if you're a loser. And so, from that standpoint, as a winner, you won. But the memory bank of all those you associated with is not with you. They're gone. then your sense of worthiness begins to vibrate within you. Why should you do it when all of them be left up? But if you had a twin, then you get a compensation for your unworthiness within your own worthiness. No greater love than he who laid down his life for his fellow man. You have to slow down for the twin so that both of you are not going to be over to be born as twins. So if you are the winner in this life form, you don't have a twin, you can slow down. But if you do slow down, and you do come out first, because you have to come out first by order, pecking order. That's how nature works. No, we don't like it. If you come out first because you slow down, fine. If the other joker don't respect you for slowing down, you come out Siamese. And then you find out who didn't slow down. Because nature would not tolerate any kind of cheating at that last moment. So when you see Siamese twins, you realize right away the two sperms did not score down sufficiently to dock with the whole line. And there you have your luck. Now the loser is the fellow whose head is where, and they connect. Yes. Because nature would not tolerate that. Nature gave each one a chance, like in it, awareness of life, to slow down for you. That's the greatest love, because the greatest intelligence is not there. He has to put himself in all these different individual mechanics to test the love. Why is he testing love? Only because he's endowing the creation with love. He creates us. As I said, if you say, take away the he, because we don't want to make it sound like there's no she. But we are created in this process. And love is the principle that drives it to create. Therefore, it has to endow the creation with love and give it a sense of worthiness. But a sense of worthiness is never appreciated unless there's a sense of competitiveness. Do you see it? You cannot have a front without a back, a top without a bottom. Like it or not, I can't find a seam to tell me to put it back. But I'm still stuck with it. So that's what we're stuck with. The consciousness puts us there to feel unworthy and worthy. And the competitiveness is an essential ingredient to generate. And when we go through it and realize it's not to be afraid of, but it's a necessary means to develop the immunity so that we can cope with the environment, then we are willing to live with the challenge. So your sense of worthiness now increases, and the sense of unworthiness diminishes. Couldn't have one without the other if the nature had an intention for you to experience love. That's why a greater love than you would lay down your life. Because your life is at stake of a sperm moving to an ovum. And if you're late, too bad. Somebody else is in your place. Not your love is late, your life is late. See, so that's where you're slowing down your life flow, your life rhythm. A sperm, to let another sperm lock it to be a twin. But if that one that is given the chance does not respect its own opportunity, that's the test. It may fly back. Nature will have to compensate with that life. It's testing its own mechanics, and it's going to compensate its own mechanics. So it will lock it. So every law of nature is well worked out, thought out by creative intelligence. We have to come up and live it at the intellectual level and assess it with the intellect, what is already occurring in the biological So you need your intellect, you need the programming to evaluate the biological laws. Biological laws are on the invisible range. They are the alchemy range. And the intellectual one is what you try to talk about. So, here is another statement of mantra at the intellectual level. Prayer unceasingly. You know that anybody who can pray unceasingly? A sound in the inhalation and exhalation, and that sound is the actual verbal label for creative life. It's called sound. You heard it? Now to put it in a language, it would call it sound, sound, sound. And so when you read Sanskrit, they say sound means I am that. That's the translation of the word. Mm-hmm. I am that. I am the sonics resonating in the nostril with the incoming outgoing ear. There you see what these people are actually getting at. They were getting at the real physics of the structure and trying to structure language to match it. And then try to set up techniques in order to phase down the anguish that would occur from erroneous use of it to get back to a synchronous way of experiencing inner peace, ecstasy, out of the static condition of it. Yes. Well, when you begin to understand the truth behind it, I don't have any mind. Other than to live the mantra. I have to live it by breathing. Otherwise, they'll bury me.
But do you think mantras are valuable for people to begin quiet?
Yes. When you're a child, Paul said you must think like a child. Not as a man, you think like a man. When you're starting out in the evaluation of your nature, all the techniques that have come down through the centuries are valid. And they will be in their frame of reference. They may call that the ashram, they may call that the church, or whatever frame of reference. They are valid, they get the brain going. Then comes the next level of evolution in the consciousness. Adult, when you're a man or a woman, you think. But that means you disengage from the childlike behavior and get into the actual mechanics of the process. Then you have the result of the transformation. And then before that, you can't have an adult before it's a baby. Like it or not, you're stuck with the chicken before the egg.
Which frame level could mantra, in terms of technique, actually?
The mantra phases down beta to give you control in alpha. And then it phases down the alpha to disengage you from the discordant geometry that is not stored correctly by memory. You may say something and not take full note of it. And that's where you have the sense of your responsibility to your actions. The mantra or the repetition of the word or any word for that matter. Repetition is an ingrained process for regulation and for discipline. So it will take you to the next level down, where you gain regulation or discipline, then it frees you from discordant functions of your own brain.
Do you think harmonious sounding mantras would work more effectively than any sound that you heard? Because they're working with to identify with that, to disidentify.
Yes, okay. You can chant because you may be more amenable to chanting to get your feeling of intimacy, or you may shout it, or you may want to mentally think it, or you may want to just repeat it, let it come. Each individual finds his own particular idiosyncrasy. That's why the paths are many. And I like Mr. Frank Sinatra's part. I did it my own way. Because for that reason, individuality has a value. You must find what is intimate to your nature and apply it. You will get the same result in the end. That is a delta level, totally devoid of geometry, alphabet, and memory, and the strength of the inner consciousness of your own creative nature. That's where you're heading to. You're heading to that level. But whatever is ideal for you to go by or experience it, go with. No two roads are for you. What may be good for her may not be good for you. Each one sooner or later finds its own, but you must be exposed to it. And mantra is one way, chanting is another way. All the different ways are there. So that's what I said. The paths are many. That's the different ways to do it. But the truth is still the same. The experience is still the same. It's a clearing up of the consciousness, where the reservoir is tapped. Then you have to get up and live it. That's the real test in the end that you got here.
If anybody wants to take a workshop and have it signed up, see us after the meeting. Jody, can
you? That's one of the options of the breath. The lower levels of the brain. The breathing gets longer in between inhalation and exhalation. And so instead of being a fast breath, it's a long breath, prolonged breath. It's a period of time in between breaths is long. That is the natural mechanics. So it's not a fast breathing, it's a very slow.
So it slows down, almost stops at some point?
No, it can't stop.
But I mean, just
it slows down at a level there. It's minimal. But it's prolonged between periods.
Periods of time. And it might be a short breath as opposed to a long breath. It might just be a little longer.
The idea is that you work with it. Here's one of the things about sleep. That's why they say cleaning up the body is important. That's what it means. Your body is toxic. You have to speed up the cleaning process. Therefore, the person may have unusual experiences and not realize that this cleaning up process is going on in the body. So, if you're cleaning the body, and working to normalize, then it's not a toxic reaction or not an overreaction.
Otherwise,
it might diet, exercise, your mind, so it's quite a
state. Otherwise, it might have an abnormal.
Sure. Well, it will go too fast. In other words, it's like trying to show that house to your friends by putting all the furniture in the middle and painting the wall, and they should show up for the party just before you finish the whole thing. They have things on the book, and we have a party to play without coming up and leaking. That's not good.
Are you using that corollary as part of the Kundalini?
Yes. Kundalini is basically the sensation of the goose pimple sensation of the tissues. If you ever have a goose pimple sensation, that's a whole shiver-like. It comes on and you can't, a hump of white comes on and it goes away. and kind of leaves you vulnerable. And sometimes when it does come on, it comes on hot instead of cold and prickly, and then it leaves you very elated. It is because it is coming in an unregulated state. Now, in the Pentecostal movement, it's like the whole thing is hot-rodded through your body. It's going on full blast, and you fall over, you. They say, slain in the spirit. Yep. And when you're practicing on your own, it comes out,
so glad
out of control.
You're getting everybody tonight.
It goes in, the therapist is the only one who has observed it and can regulate it. And therefore, when they work with you in a therapeutic process over any illness, to resolve it, then it comes in a more regulated manner. Then, in time, you sit down and keep the regulation in meditation, but it's a normal process. A normal process of lowering the mechanism from beta to delta within your own control, instead of rushing it through like a hot rod. In the slain of the spirit, Pentecostal experience, that's about it, because some people are so ingrained in their fixations, there's no way they're going to get rid of that locking in of your ideas. So they get that sudden gust of the energy right up, and it deactivates the brain. Beta, alpha, and theta are all released, and they get the delta, and they call, oh, the Lord is with you. That's necessary for them. Then they start reorganizing their life. That time. Otherwise, they're so fixated with what they started off with, it's very miserable for them. Yes, but that's all right. That's all right. You have to have. Well, that's what the problem is, making fishes of men. Because they're broken, but we're not. That's how they do it. It does that. That's the natural feeling of activation. Also known as a cross-section. Excuse me, we have the words.